This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Leaving troops in Syria. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Monday, October 21st. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump is reportedly considering whether to leave a couple of hundred American troops in northeast Syria after most U.S. forces withdraw.
A tornado cut power to nearly 100,000 people in the Dallas area. Several schools are closed today as a result.
After settlement talks failed, the first federal trial tied to the nation's opioid epidemic is scheduled to begin today in Cleveland.
And with the World Series beginning tomorrow, how the Washington Nationals recovered from a terrible start to the season.
They really started to have fun again. They really enjoyed the presence of a man named Gerardo Parra. Parra is most famous for switching his walk-up music when he goes up to the plate to bat to the children's song Baby Shark. So it became the most unexpected phenomenon of the baseball season.
Adam Zelanka at the Washington Times on how analytics did little to save the national season this year. He's here in about 20 minutes. President Trump is considering whether to keep a few hundred U.S. troops in northeast Syria after the bulk of the American force leaves. The Wall Street Journal says a principal mission of the residual force would be to prevent President Bashar al-Assad's troops or Russian forces from taking control of Syria's oil fields. Meanwhile, Kurdish-led forces known as SDF said they withdrew from a key border town in northeastern Syria, fulfilling a part of the ceasefire agreement between Turkey and the U.S. A large convoy of American troops also prepared to pull out. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was on ABC's This Week.
We're hoping that the SDF forces will move out of those towns in this ceasefire that the Turkish leaders and the SDF leaders agreed to while we're on the ground in Ankara will hold.
Also, Defense Secretary Mark Esper made a surprise visit to Afghanistan to reassure the U.S. would not abandon that country. His stop in Kabul comes weeks after President Trump threw out a deal with Taliban insurgents to pull American troops from that country. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney is still struggling to explain why President Trump and the administration had withheld aid to Ukraine for weeks, one of Democrats' central questions in their impeachment inquiry. Mr. Mulvaney was on Fox News Sunday saying there was no quid pro quo for the aid. In exchange for an investigation into Mr. Trump's political rival, Joe Biden, Mr. Mulvaney said the delay was over corruption concerns.
In 2014, Congress passed a law requiring us to make sure that corruption was moving in the right direction. So corruption's a big deal. Everybody knows it.
The White House is fighting back against Democrats' impeachment inquiry. And on the issue of hosting next year's G7 summit at President Trump's resort in Doral, Florida, Mr. Mulvaney said the president, quote, still considers himself to be in the hospitality business. Meanwhile, following widespread criticism, President Trump announced on Twitter that his resort, in fact, would not host next year's G7. He wrote they'll begin the search for another site, including the possibility of Camp David. Republicans are bracing for a high-stakes impeachment fight as soon as next month, as a trial in the Senate looks all but inevitable. With House Democrats wading deeper into their ongoing impeachment inquiry into President Trump's interactions with Ukraine, GOP senators expect the House will ultimately pass articles of impeachment. Both sides are prepping. We're joined now by Jordan Carney, reporter at The Hill. Jordan, explain.
Yeah, it seems like Republicans are sort of recognizing that seem to think it's pretty inevitable that they are going to have to deal with impeachment in some way. Senator Kennedy, a Republican from Louisiana, actually mentioned that he had sort of ordered something from the Congressional Research Service to help him, you know, sort of brush up on the rules. The Senate Republican caucus had sort of a 101 briefing this week to sort of walk them through what to expect. So they're starting to gear up for a potential impeachment trial.
Wow. What is it he's reading or what some of them are reading, do you know?
So he made it sound like he had gotten a white paper from the Congressional Research Service that sort of walks them through what the impeachment rules are for the Senate, so sort of how a trial would work. Most of them have not gone through this before, so I know when they had their lunch where they went through sort of like a PowerPoint presentation of you know, potentially what to expect, they mentioned that there was just about every question imaginable coming from the caucus.
Is it possible that even if the House votes to impeach, that there's, I don't know, some agreement or settlement in that it never actually goes to a Senate trial? Could that happen?
This question has sort of floated around about could they dismiss the articles of impeachment before a trial really starts. And a Senate GOP aide did note to a group of reporters, I guess, last month that a motion to dismiss would be in order under their rules. But kind of having said that, when you talk to Republican senators, they say they expect this to go to a trial. McConnell was asked this week during his sort of weekly leadership press conference, you know, would you have a trial? And he said yes. They would, you know, he's, I think his phrasing was they would follow their constitutional responsibility, but he made it pretty clear they're going to have a trial.
We're speaking with Jordan Carney, Senate reporter at The Hill, about her story entitled Senate GOP Braces for Impeachment Trial Roller Coaster. I know the House kind of gets to make its own rules when it comes to the impeachment inquiry. Mm-hmm. What about the Senate? Do they do that with the trial, or is that more of a standard approach?
I was talking to both Republicans and Democrats about this, and multiple senators sort of brought up that during the Clinton impeachment trial, leadership got together and they sort of came up with a deal that was then agreed to by the full Senate that set sort of the ground rules for how the impeachment trial would work. I think there is some hope, even among leadership right now on both sides, that they could come to a similar, you know, sort of working agreement if this does in fact come to a trial in the Senate. Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader, did say that conversation has not taken place yet, but he's hoping that he can sit down with McConnell and sort of work out what, you know, they would view as a fair process.
And the senators are silent during the trial, is that right? It's just evidence presented to the presiding Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, that's it?
Yeah, so McConnell was sort of walking us through some of the ground rules for, you know, an impeachment trial, and he noted, you know, they have to work 6 out of 7 days, they come in, you know, between like noon and one every day, and then he quipped that senators couldn't talk during the impeachment trial, so they had to stare silently, and he, you know, he joked that that might be good therapy for some of them. but it is very different than the Senate floor normally, where if you watch a vote, you know, they're all talking and sort of, you know, working their colleagues on different issues, and, you know, they're definitely not sitting there silently when they're normally on the floor.
Thanks, Jordan. Jordan Carney, reporter at The Hill. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When it comes to keeping your small business's valuable information safe, Dell Small Business Technology Advisors can recommend tailored security solutions like servers, storage, networking. Plus, right now, get up to 45% off select business computers with Intel Core processors. Running your own small business is a big challenge, but with the right partner, it's a lot easier. To speak with an advisor today, call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Officials this morning in the Dallas-Fort Worth area are assessing damage from a large tornado that struck last night. The wide path of destruction left more than 100,000 without power at one point. The National Weather Service said there was visual confirmation of the tornado in the northern part of the city. Jose Sanchez huddled with his family in the bathroom of his home.
I lost 3 trees in the front of my house. My front wall. We went back here to look at some of the neighbors, make sure everybody was okay. Got some trees that fell on top of houses. They lost their roofs.
Videos of the funnel cloud were all over Twitter, as well as photos of extensive damage, including footage of a badly damaged Home Depot. No fatalities or serious injuries from the tornado, which also brought lightning and hail the size of golf balls. Dallas police sent officers door-to-door in a neighborhood northwest of Love Field to check on the status of residents after reports on social media said some people had been trapped in damaged buildings.
This portion of the program is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring can be a slow process, as you know. The COO of a company called Cafe Altura needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but Dylan Miskowitz was having trouble finding qualified applicants, so he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you, it finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Again, the free trial begins at ZipRecruiter.com/Gordon. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump has ordered the bulk of the approximately 1,000 U.S. troops in Syria to withdraw, with 200 to 300 remaining at a southern Syrian outpost. The withdrawal came after Turkish President Erdogan made it clear his forces were about to invade Syria to push back Kurdish forces that Turkey considers terrorists. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told ABC yesterday he thinks the ceasefire is holding.
There's much work to be done to continue to implement it, but we're optimistic. I got a report within the last half hour from my senior leaders who indicate that there's relatively little fighting, a little sporadic small arms fire, a mortar or two.
The pullout largely abandons the U.S.'s Kurdish allies who have fought ISIS for several years. Mick Mulvaney is struggling with the job of defending his boss. President Trump's acting chief of staff went on Fox News to speak up for Trump and ended up raising more eyebrows when he tried to explain why Trump had tried to steer an international summit to one of his own properties.
At the end of the day, you know, he still considers himself to be in the hospitality business, and he saw an opportunity to take the biggest leaders from around the world, and he wanted to put on the absolute best show, the best visit that he possibly could, and he was very comfortable doing that at Doral.
Mulvaney's response did nothing to allay concerns that the president has used his office to enrich his business interests. Trump now has dropped his plan to host the summit at his Florida resort. Officials set off thundering explosions yesterday to topple two cranes looming precariously over a partially collapsed hotel in New Orleans. Fire Chief Tim McConnell says utilities were ready for any possible damage caused by the falling cranes.
Our objective was to get these down, make it safer so we can go to our next objective, which is recovery to give these families closure.
The explosion set off massive clouds of dust, but officials say everything went exactly as expected. The collapse at the construction site last week killed 3 workers and injured dozens more. 2 bodies are in the remains. Experts have identified a second Japanese aircraft carrier that went down in the Pacific during the historic Battle of Midway. Vulcan Incorporated and the Naval History and Heritage Command reviewed high-frequency sonar images of the warship yesterday and say its dimensions and location mean it has to be the carrier. The deep-sea researchers are looking for sunken World War II ships from the 1942 battle.
Man, I can't imagine how deep that must be also. Wow.
Amazing.
Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. For a Washington Nationals team heading to the franchise's first World Series, thanks to clutch hitting and lights-out pitching, it's easy to overlook the importance of the dugout dancing. But just about everyone with the Nationals, including manager Dave Martinez, said the conga lines, the music, and the sheer fun the team's Hispanic stars brought to the club this year played a big role in the Nationals' success. It's a story by Adam Zalanka, sports reporter at the Washington Times. Adam, at one point there were calls for Martinez to be fired, right?
That's right, Gordon. They're 19-31 over their first 50 games. They were swept by the Mets in a 4-game series in New York in the middle of May, and that was the point of the year where there were the calls for Dave Martinez's job were louder than ever at that point. It's his second year as manager, and Martinez, he came in a bit of a sticky spot because he was preceded by Dusty Baker in this town, and Dusty Baker, for 2 seasons, got the Nationals to division titles and just not the playoff success that the team was hoping for. So they fired Dusty Baker. They bring in Dave Martinez, who was a bench coach of the Cubs, did not really had previous managerial experience at the major league level. So it was starting to shape up like this was the wrong move, and instead this team did get it turned around after that very sluggish start to the beginning of the year.
All right, so what happened? Is there like one or two guys you point to just seem to have changed the mood or the chemistry in the locker room? What happened?
Yeah, certainly a lot went right for the remainder of the year, and they did survive some tougher times. Like, for instance, you've got one of the best pitchers in baseball, Max Scherzer, in your rotation, but he did miss a good chunk of the season, about a month or more, with injuries, like a back injury, and they did survive that, but Scherzer's pitching amazing. They got some clutch hitting from guys that maybe you didn't expect to see come up in the clutch, like a Howie Kendrick, a utility infielder like him who had to play a lot more. But those are the baseball reasons why they turned the season around and found ways to win. But a lot of it really can be pointed also, and this is true, you ask Mike Rizzo, the general manager, this is true if you ask players or Dave Martinez, they really started to have fun again. They really enjoyed the presence of a man named Gerardo Parra, who has really become almost the unofficial mascot of this team in a way. I wrote about him for the Washington Times and some other players like him on this team that really imbued a new energy into the locker room. Parra is most famous for switching his walk-up music when he goes up to the plate to bat to the children's song Baby Shark. So it became the most unexpected phenomenon of the baseball season that the Nationals fans just got themselves attached to Parra. He was signed in May. He was waived by the Giants, and he just stuck with the Nats. And here he's become this mascot where if you look now at the playoff games, if you're watching on TV, you'll see a lot of shark hats on Nationals fans' heads. He not only energizes the fans with his kind of carefree, have fun sort of attitude, he brought that to the locker room as well.
Is he the reason that they do that kind of the hand clapping motion when somebody gets on base, almost like a shark chomping?
Yes.
Like a modified Florida Gators cheer?
Right. It is taken directly from the hand motions that go along with the children's song.
Yeah.
And they've been doing that for several weeks and months now, actually. But any guy who gets on base, yep, he'll turn to the Nationals dugout and he'll do it in the direction of his teammates, and they'll do it back to them as a little celebration. They're dancing in the dugout. They're dancing in the clubhouse. But right now, they have reason to be dancing in the clubhouse, winning the wild card game, the NLDS, and the NLCS to get to this point.
Adam Zielonka at the Washington Times. Game one, Washington at Houston tomorrow night. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Now that Human Resources Director Fernando Pino has Kronos for HR, payroll, talent, and time, he's completely crushing it. He even has his own hype song.
Supporting our entire workforce, everyone has different hours, skill sets, and pay grades. Motivating and engaging our people every step of the way.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top,
top, I'm gonna rise up. I'm on the top. America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, October 21. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. A tornado in the Dallas area last night knocked out power and caused flight delays. A report says President Trump may leave behind some troops in northeastern Syria. Potential vote today on a Brexit withdrawal agreement. Canadians vote for a prime minister today. Opioid makers and distributors go on trial this morning in Cleveland. Cowboys beat the Eagles in Sunday Night Football. And how a barber accommodated an autistic boy anxious about his haircut. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. A Medicaid work requirement has emerged as a divisive policy issue in the 2020 presidential election. President Trump has called for adding a mandate nationwide, while some Democratic candidates are proposing a single federal health system that would subsume the program. It's a story by Stephanie Armour. health policy reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Stephanie, what do we have?
Well, what you have at this point is 9 states that have gotten the approval to put work requirements in their Medicaid programs, and you have 9 others that have approval or requests pending. So you've really seen sort of a steady march toward largely conservative states adopting this. And so we tried to take a look at one state, which was the first to fully implement Medicaid work requirements, to kind of get a sense as to, you know, what kind of impact it had and what sort of lessons may be learned.
All right. So what were some of the takeaways?
Well, what we found is that about 18,000 people were disenrolled from Medicaid under the requirements. And one of the things that was really kind of, I guess you would say troubling, is that there was no system sort of set up or approved ahead of time to really document how many of those people who left Medicaid were finding jobs. So it's really hard to kind of track what's happened to a number of these individuals. But by and large, we did find that the system that was initially set up for people to kind of report their hours or report compliance proved to be very confusing for a lot of people. It was online only, and some people lacked access to technology. And really, for a number of people who were disenrolled, it was in part because of the administrative burden, which was kind of a surprise. It wasn't necessarily their ability to meet the requirements. In many cases, it was their ability to understand what they needed to do to let the state know that they were meeting them.
Wow. All right. So in basics here, it is determined, mm-hmm. I guess, that, well, okay, one, you're receiving benefits. Two, you are physically capable and mentally capable of working.
There are a large number of exemptions, right? Okay. Like, yeah. If you're a caregiver or if you're engaged in school, there are quite a large number of exceptions for people as well.
Okay, and the state or the local government that has access to the funds are making the determination here?
Well, it is a state determination in terms of whether you are eligible to be exempt from the requirement. But it's also the states that are setting up each individually their own sort of administrative process for people to report their work requirements. And there was another recent study that came out from the general, from GAO, that really found there were some pretty hefty costs for the states to set up these tracking systems. At this point, you know, everything's sort of on hold, largely because of the litigation over these Medicaid work requirements.
Yeah.
But, you know, should the appeals court allow them to move ahead, I think it's really important to kind of look at what happened in Arkansas, the first state, to sort of make sure that reporting requirements and tracking is in place, just so that there's an ability to really evaluate how the programs are working.
All right. We're speaking with Stephanie Armour, health policy reporter at the Wall Street Journal. She's written a piece entitled Medicaid and the Healthcare Policy Debate Ahead of 2020 Election. We'll talk about the Medicaid work requirement. Arkansas says what on its behalf, Stephanie?
I think the individuals in Arkansas that we spoke to were really enthusiastic about the program. They really see this as a mechanism for helping individuals find employment where they would get job-based benefits. They feel like the program was really well on its way, and that people were disenrolled because they were finding work, and they're frustrated that the judge has, at this point, blocked it from going forward.
Wow. So this could mean what for some of the other states, then, that are trying to do this?
I think that, well, obviously the litigation that's currently underway is going to have a big impact on the other states and what they do. But I think that, you know, there really are some lessons learned from Arkansas in terms of states that do this need to make sure that the system for reporting hours or compliance is very easy to do and easy to understand, and that there's a hefty amount of communication with beneficiaries before this rolls out. And I think that is one of the key takeaways from what Arkansas has seen with its program.
Thanks, Stephanie. Stephanie Armour, health policy reporter at the Wall Street Journal. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, Beyond the Headlines Now. This morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know blood may be thicker than water, but it will still flood your basement. An Iowa man found that out the hard way when, in something resembling a scene from a Halloween horror movie, he discovered 5 inches of animal blood in his family's basement.
What?
Yes.
Could you
imagine that?
5 inches?
Yes.
Animal blood?
Not just a coating, not just a puddle, but 5 inches, you know, floor to to mid-wall. Oh. Nicholas Stina told the Des Moines Register that the waste is coming from a neighboring meat locker. Officials say a clog or a break in the pipe sent the waste into Lestina's basement through a floor drain. The company is taking responsibility for the accident and say they are working to financially assist the family. As of late last week, Lestina hadn't even been able to start cleaning up the mess because it was still seeping in. In the meantime, he and his family have temporarily moved in with a relative.
I can't even fathom that.
Yeah.
This animal blood is pouring into this guy's basement.
Yes. And you just walk downstairs.
Like
you
know, 5 inches. That's ankle high.
Yeah. You don't want to go downstairs and get a hammer or something from the basement.
Oh,
and all of a sudden you make that discovery. So how long would it take for you to be able to move back in? Or are you putting the for sale sign up right away as soon as it's cleaned up?
Man,
I couldn't imagine living back in that house again.
I guess, you know, money talks. I assume there'll be some sort of settlement here.
Yeah, yeah. Some sort of restitution, you would think. And I guess the company is trying to get their insurance company to, you know, pay them for it that kind of thing. So, you know, hopefully, you know, a nice chunk of change will come their way. But still, every time you go down there, you'd be thinking about that, wouldn't you?
Right. You'd be looking for, like, tiny little stains or remnants of what happened.
And there must be an odor. I assume there must be an odor, right?
Sure.
And some good news and some bad news from over the weekend for an infamous NFL kicker. Cody Parkey made his return to the NFL this week with the Tennessee Titans. You'll likely remember Parkey from his work last season with the Chicago Bears, with whom he had a rough season, culminating with the infamous double doink missed field goal, which led to the Bears losing a playoff game against the Eagles. You can imagine how hard it might be coming back from something like that, so good for him for getting signed by the Titans. Unfortunately, it didn't take long for everyone to be reminded of how Parkey's 2018 season ended as he lined up to kick an extra point.
Off the post. It's a doink. Doink King.
Yes, we can add Doink King to Parkey's Wikipedia page, as coined by Dan Fouts on CBS. Some good news for Parkey, though, as the Titans wound up winning the game 23-20 over the Chargers.
By the way, that last, I don't know, 30 seconds, 40 seconds of that game must have taken 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Did you happen to see that?
I heard it was crazy.
I mean, the Chargers like rushed it in twice.
Yeah.
Like from a yard out, only to have it overturned.
Right.
And the delays and the reviews took so long. I mean, ultimately, they got it right.
Yes.
But the game just fell off a cliff in terms of any kind of flow.
Yeah, I can imagine, like, can you imagine yourself working that game? You know, when you work the NFL game, just sitting there, just come on. I got to get home
it
at some point, please.
Just painful. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer, but sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. Researchers in the UK say exercising before breakfast can help you burn more fat. In a new study, the researchers looked at 30 obese or overweight men over a six-week period, some of who exercised before breakfast, some who exercised after, and some who made no lifestyle changes. An analysis of the results revealed that participants who exercised before breakfast burned double the amount of fat than the group who exercised after breakfast. The study found exercising in a fasted state helps people control their blood sugar levels more than working out after a meal. Experts suspect that the body becomes efficient at using insulin, which is generally seen as a sign of good health. Keeping insulin in check has the potential, of course, to fight type 2 diabetes and other metabolic conditions. The studies at the universities of Bath and Birmingham involved cycling
three times a week, lasting up to 50 minutes. There were no rules around their diet other than the restricted times of their breakfast and dinner. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the National Weather Service has confirmed a tornado touched down in Dallas last night, causing structural damage and knocking out electricity to hundreds of thousands. The twister hit the ground near Love Field Airport and moved northeast through the city. This is how it sounded on Broadcastify.com.
We have another strip totally collapsed. We have multiple injuries.
Homes and businesses were damaged, power lines downed, and tree limbs were scattered across roadways. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other senior members of Congress have made an unannounced visit to Afghanistan. Pelosi, who traveled to Afghanistan after a stop in Jordan on Saturday, met with President Ashraf Ghani and visiting U.S. Defense Secretary Mark Esper, as well as top U.S. military commanders and some of their troops. The lawmakers' trip to the Middle East and South Asia occurred amid questions about the U.S.'s commitment to its allies after President Trump's sudden withdrawal of U.S. troops from northeastern Syria. The Trump administration is taking the first formal steps to begin collecting DNA samples from asylum seekers for inclusion in a massive FBI criminal database. The Justice Department is expected to publish an amended regulation today that would require DNA collection for all migrants who cross the border illegally and are detained. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is expected to push for a vote on his European Union divorce deal as Parliament prepares for a week of continued turmoil over Brexit. Johnson plans to kick things off by asking for a straight up and down vote on the EU divorce agreement today, 2 days after lawmakers voted to delay approving the deal. The House of Commons Speaker could refuse to allow such a vote because parliamentary rules generally bar the same measure from being considered a second time during the same session of Parliament unless something has changed. All your favorite Nickelodeon characters are coming to New Jersey. Nickelodeon Universe, which at 8.5 acres will be the largest indoor theme park in North America, will open on Friday at the American Dream Mall in East Rutherford. The park features more than 35 rides, roller coasters, attractions, and Nickelodeon characters such as SpongeBob, Dora the Explorer, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The roller coasters include one named the Shell Razor, which features a plunging 122-foot drop. The American Dream Mall has been in the works, as we know here in New Jersey, for 16 years.
It has also been perhaps the ugliest
structure.
It is. They threw white paint over everything. It seems to have really helped.
It was hideous before.
That was absolutely so ugly in its design. It's almost unfathomable. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. An Ohio family is thankful to a barbershop in the town of Mentor, which helped accommodate their 7-year-old son with autism by moving a chair outside the shop to make him feel more comfortable. When Bryson Juby was 2 years old, he was diagnosed with autism and apraxia of speech, and he was nonverbal till he was 5. Yahoo Lifestyle says when he was 1, they were able to take him to a kiddie place to get his hair cut, but as he grew older, Mom Ashley says it was a screaming meltdown every time. Recently, however, Bryson started to tolerate the haircuts without crying, and Ashley and her husband thought it might be time to try a barber again, so they reached out to Marky Fresh Barbershop, asking if they could get their son a haircut after the shop was closed. Marco Conti, the owner, immediately set up an appointment after hours. Mr. Conti recognized that Bryson felt more comfortable outside the shop, so he asked if it would be okay if he cut his hair outside, and so they did. Dad cradled Bryson's face during the trip, and a photo has gone viral. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.